seminar, because I'm not very good with coming up with names. I do good with numbers. So it's a level two that we do in our personality in our personality seminars. This one is about unlocking the image of God in you, your destiny, your purpose, seeing how God is in you through who, how he created you. It's one of my favorite, and we're going to give you a special tonight. If you'll see Felicia right after service, Felicia, raise your hands. Everybody knows who you are. If you'll see Felicia right after service, instead of $50, it'll be $40 if you sign up tonight. So give you a little discount for coming out on Wednesday night. We've got a number of people already signed up. It's going to be a great day. Looking forward to it and seeing what God is going to do. I also want to just encourage you, if you're thinking about the school, stop thinking and start doing. God's going to make a way, all right? We've got a number of people that have already signed up, a number of people that are talking about it, but we need you to pull the trigger on that. God needs you to say yes so he can start moving on your behalf. And he won't move until you say yes. When you say yes, he starts moving. How many is ready for God to start moving? All right. You know, we want all of you to sign up right after the service tonight. See Pastor Marla. Okay. Some time ago, the Lord just poured into me, downloaded a project that I've been working on. It's called the Identity Project, and I've had a couple of opportunities to speak on it and share it with you. I actually have a self-study, home study book coming out real soon with all this material in it that you can use in your home personal life, in your home study, be used in small groups, different ways people are going to use this. And it's called the Identity Project. And you're hearing a lot today. If you're listening to people in the prophetic realm, you're hearing a great deal about identity, because God is getting ready. He's already doing it in many ways, but there's just this mushroom, if you will, of God's presence that is growing around this world, that God is going to do something miraculous, but he needs us to know who we are. You have to know who you are. Now, identity, now part of what I'm getting ready to say is important, but it's not what I'm going to be talking about. We talk about identity sometimes being our gender, male or female. Talks about our ethnicity, where are we from, color of our skin, our background, our roots, our ancestry, where are we from? And that's important, and that's part of our identity. But that part of our identity has never stopped the devil. It doesn't scare him where you're from. It doesn't scare him what the color of your skin is. It doesn't scare him what your name is, your roots. But what scares him is when you know who you are in Christ. That's what scares the devil. So the Lord gave me a download of four different areas of identity that is extremely important. And it was really birthed out of a number of things that have taken place that I won't take the time to go into tonight. But part of it came one Sunday when Pastor quoted from Joshua, where God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And it was like the Lord just said to me, what does that look like? Now, we know when God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's wanting to give us an answer or wanting us to discover something. So the Lord really started putting that in my spirit, what that looks like. So I've come up with four things that the Lord just downloaded into me. And one I've spoken about a couple of times recently, called a solid sense of self. If we're going to have a strong identity, know who we are, we have to have a solid sense of ourself. Now, I use that language differently from having a good self-esteem. Now, a good self-esteem is important, and that's part of it, but that's kind of at a shallow level of where I wanted this to go and where it goes. A solid sense of self is knowing who you are in the storms of your life and having something to hang on to, hold on to. And we talked about that extensively over a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and I addressed it on a Sunday morning not too long ago. I want to advance this a little further tonight and talk about the second part of this, and that is having a calm mind and a still heart. How can this be part of our identity? A calm mind and a still heart. One of the ways that we know who we are is how we behave in the most extreme circumstances of our life. That becomes part of our identity. We identify people who have a strong sense of self. We identify people who are calm and have a calm mind and a still heart. The third and fourth is to be able to emotionally ground ourselves and to be able to experience purposeful endurance. I'll get to those at some other time, but that's what the workbook is made up of, and it walks you through how to develop each one of these. But I want to talk to you tonight for a little bit about having a calm mind and a still heart. This is extremely important. Now, I'm a student. I'm a lifetime student. I've read more books since I've been out of school than I ever read while I was in school. I'm a constant learner. I'm constantly researching and trying to find ways of understanding what's going on, and so I can communicate it in a better way. And some of you may be familiar with this, but one of the books that I recently came across is very interesting. It comes from a study group called the Heart Math Institute. Anybody heard of that? The Heart Math Institute. If you haven't read any of that material and you want to know a lot about the heart, it's a great resource. This is a group of scientists that have dedicated themselves to studying the heart. Now, they're not studying the heart. I'm talking about our physical heart, that thing that's beating in you right now. They're not looking at it like a cardiologist would look at it. They're looking at it for its richness and its soul connection. And this is extremely valuable information. In fact, here's some of the things that they have discovered about your physical heart. It's more than just a pump that pushes blood through your body. It's more than just tissue. It's more than just muscle. It's more than just an organ in your body. It is part of your brain system. In fact, there is about 50,000 neurons in your heart, and now they're really calling it your second brain. It is part of the system between the heart and the emotions and the mind. And I want to read a quote to you that's out of their studies. It says, "We now have scientific evidence that the heart sends us emotional and intuitive signals to help us govern our lives. Instead of simply pumping blood, it directs and aligns many systems in the body so that they can function in harmony with one another." And although the heart is in a constant communication with the brain, we now know that it makes many of its own decisions. Your heart is making decisions. It's making choices. And oftentimes will override your mind and will interrupt your mind. Now, here's what they have discovered. When the mind and the heart are in alignment with each other, we are the healthiest. That's when we function physically and emotionally the healthiest. When there is conflict between the heart and the head, it shows up in physical symptoms in our body. When we don't have that connection. Now, here's what else it goes on to say from the Heart Math Institute. Now, this is just a bunch of scientists, but they're on to something. It says, our theory is that the heart links us to a higher intelligence through an intuitive domain where spirit and humanness merge. Now, we already knew that, right? As believers, we already knew that. But isn't it cool when the Bible validates science? I didn't say science validates the Bible. I said the Bible validates science. Now, that's pretty cool when that happens. So our theory is that the heart links us to a higher intelligence. Well, that's a nice way of saying God and being politically correct. Our theory is that the heart links us to God through an intuitive domain where spirit and humanness merge together. So it's extremely important that we learn how to identify who we are in the time of our greatest stress and to have a still mind and a calm heart where we can still these or quiet these things together. When our heart is not still, we fall prey to reactive emotions. That's when we fall prey to insecurity, anger, and fear, and blame, as well as energy draining experiences that literally cause our immune system to diminish. And many of the times, the illnesses that come upon us are the result of a lowered immune system that is a result of a disquieted heart or a mind that is not still and calm. So it becomes imperative that we have an identity of being still, a still heart, and a calm mind. So this becomes part of who we are and how we function as believers. So one of the things that needs to happen for us as the body of Christ, if we're going to enter in to the warfare that is before us in this world, we need to not be in panic. We need to not be in fear. We need to not be in anxiety. We need to be calm and we need to be still so that we can hear the voice of the Lord and show this world that we're not in panic, that we have something they don't have and we have something they need instead of us living in the same kind of fear that they're living in. Go ahead, give the Lord a great big praise offering. I think all of us could agree that we're living in a world that seems to be spinning out of control. Would you agree with that? A world that seems to be turned totally upside down. What used to be right now is wrong, and what used to be wrong now seems to be right. And there was the time in this world that things were totally different. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, I would like to have lived in the 50s and know what that experience was like. I said, I did live in the 50s, and I can tell you what that experience was like. But we are living in a changing world, and it is a world that seems to be out of control. But I love something Pastor said just the other, last Sunday, I believe it was, or Sunday before, when he was here, that he said it so quickly that I think a lot of you might have missed it, And I want to quote him. And here was the quote that he gave us on that Sunday. He said, "Don't be overly engaged in the work of hell. You will miss the activities of heaven." If we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in what the devil is doing, we won't be able to hear what God is doing. We'll get so worked up emotionally in what the devil is doing that our hearts won't be in concert with heaven, and it'll be in conflict with what God is doing. I'm not saying that we are to ignore what is going on around us, but I am telling you, have a calm heart and a still mind and know who God is, and remember He is on His throne. So we have to move into this identity. Move into this place where we can live in this fulfillment of God's word. And the Heart Math Institute, another quote says, unless we consciously develop, listen to this, unless we consciously develop our ability to self-activate positive emotional states and arrest negative emotional states, we find it hard to stay balanced, healthy, and fulfilled. So here's what they're saying, and I'm going to show you the Word of God says the same thing. Many of you already know this, but in case you don't, that we have to self-activate. We have to be still and calm on purpose. We can't wait for the world to create it for us. We have to take charge and do it ourselves. And we have to have something to hang on to. We have to have an identity about us that says, this is who I am in the midst of my storm. This is who I am in the midst of my storm. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and it has impacted a lot of people, but it's still part of what I'm talking about. To be able to self-activate positive emotions, we have to be willing to take 100% responsibility for our emotional state. If you are waiting on other people to help you feel good, you might be waiting for a long time. Would you agree with that? If you're waiting for everything in your world to be perfect so that you can feel good, you're going to be waiting for a long time. If you're waiting for everybody to say the right thing to you and treat you the right way, then you're never going to have a calm mind and a still heart, because you are empowering other people to be in charge of your life and how you're behaving and how you're acting. But we need to hear what the Word of the Lord says, and says, take on this identity of having a calm heart and a still mind. Listen to what the Word of the Lord says, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Whatever's going on, and sometimes, as I said a while ago, referring to Pastor's quote, we get so caught up in what's going on in the world and all the bad things that are happening that we can get so emotionally worked up that we forget who God is. He said, this is the moment you need to stand still. Be still and know who God is. In our personal lives, at that moment of our level of anxiety is rising, we need to self-activate and say, wait, that's not who I am. Here's who I am. I am one that stands still and sees the glory of God. Be still and know that I am God. Now the word here, be still and know that I am God, is an ongoing thing. It's a process, not just an event. It's something that we do on a continual basis. It's not something that happens once and we don't ever have to worry about it again. It's something that becomes part of our identity. How do you behave in the time of crisis? How do you behave in the moment when life is not going your way? And so he says, be still and know that I am God. I love the Message translation. And he says, here's that same verse in the Message. It says, attention. Attention to everybody. See the marvels of God. He plants flowers and trees all over the earth, bans war from pole to pole, breaks all the weapons across his knee. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. I love that line that says, step out of the traffic. Stop everything. Hold on. Sometimes we need to just stop ourselves. Would you agree with that? We need to just stop ourselves. You ever wish sometimes you could just put your brain on pause? Well, you can. Just put your brain on pause. Step out of the traffic. Step out of everything that's going on. Have a freeze frame, if you will. Just freeze everything. Let it stop right there. Say, hold on. Wait just a minute. I'm going to step into my identity and stand still and see what God is going to do. When we practice that, that's what we're going to have to do, folks. If we're going to win and show the world who God is, we have to learn to step out of the traffic of life and stand still and let God be God. Our friend Karen is not here tonight, but she was here Sunday. And if you don't know Karen Spears, she's one of those that has stepped into a very difficult time several months ago. She was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And she's been undergoing all kind of treatments and gone through this whole process. Some of you are familiar with that process. But every time we've talked to her and every time we've prayed with her, she just, first of all, practiced what we talked about in having a strong sense of self. I know who I am and I know what God is doing. And Sunday she was here and she was going back to work, and God has just given her favor with her job. She was going back to work and she said, but I don't know exactly what to expect, and I've got a little bit of anxiety. And the Lord just gave me a word for her standing right over here. And the Lord gave me a word, and the word was stand still. Stand still. Well, she called me Monday afternoon. She said, you won't believe what happened at work. And everything at work went in her favor, and her boss gave her a new position and gave her a flexibility that she could work when she wanted to from home, and she could work when she wanted to from the office. And let me tell you, when you stand still and let God be God, He can change the circumstances of your life. I love this. When Moses was about to cross the Red Sea, and everybody was complaining, the mountains were on each side of them, the Egyptian army was coming up behind them, and everybody was in complaining, and the Lord told Moses, he told Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I don't remember where I got this. I did get it somewhere. I didn't make it up. It's going to sound like I made it up, but I did get this out of some study somewhere where somebody had broken that word, that phrase down, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They had broken it down to our vernacular. The way we would say it today is shut up. Turn to somebody. You've been wanting to do this. Turn to somebody and just say, shut up. Kindly. Just stop complaining, stop fretting, stop stewing, stop saying what if, stop the brain, and just freeze for a moment and say, wait, let's see what God is going to do. How many needs to see what God is going to do? You got a situation right now. You need to see what God. I'm telling you tonight, if you will stop complaining, stand still, calm your heart, still your mind, you will hear from the heavens and know exactly what God is needing to do in your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, in my counseling practice, I have a definition for issues. Issues are unmet needs. When we have an issue, it's generally about some need in our life that has not been met. And so if we look at issues and unmet needs, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs all of those unmet needs of life. Your heart's telling you it's springing out of there. It's telling you all of those unmet needs. Above everything else, it says in another version, above everything else, guard your heart. Everything you do comes from it. Now, if we tie that back to what the heart math people are telling us, they're telling us that if this part of our heart, this part of our brain, this part of our emotions is calm and still, and it's in relationship with what we know in our head, you know, sometimes we say we got it in our head, we need to get it in our heart. Let's reverse that. We got it in our heart, now let's get it in our head so that we can be calm and still and see what God is going to do. When our heart is not calm, we cannot hear the voice of the Lord. When it is disturbed, when it is in anxiety, when it is in fear, then we cannot hear the voice of the Lord. When we get it calm, when we get it in relationship with God and God's word, then we can hear the voice of the Lord. So soothing your mind requires taking every thought captive. If we're going to calm our heart, we have to take every thought in our brain captive. We know that scripture, right? To take every thought captive. I want to read it to you from the Message translation. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolition, for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. This is our assignment, to demolish the corrupt cultures, to demolish the corruption in the seven mountains. This is our assignment. And how are we going to do it? We're going to do it with steel hearts and calm minds, because that's when we see what God is going to do. It's not going to come out of our fear. It's not going to come out of our anxiety. It's not going to come out of our anger. It's not going to come out of our righteous indignation. It's going to come out of God's people knowing who they are, standing still, being calm, and declaring the word of the Lord over the cultures that we're in, and knowing who we are so we don't get swayed when the winds blow the wrong direction. We still know what to hang on to. We know who we are in Christ. We know who Christ is in us, and we stand firm in Him. Amen. I want to get to a couple of more points here. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. I want you to get that. Fitting every loose thought and every emotion and every impulse into the structure of our identity of who we are in Christ. Now, if you start... If you start taking your thoughts, your emotions, your impulses, and run them through who you are in Christ, they're going to come out differently than when we just do it on our own. Would you agree with that? Somebody said to me recently, in fact, it was just today, that I had made that statement some time ago about taking 100% responsibility for your own emotions. And they said, you know, that's hard. That's hard to do. in fact, this person was very honest that I really prefer blaming other people for how I'm feeling. Yeah, I really prefer blaming other people for how I'm feeling. If I have to take responsibility for it, then I have to deal with it. So if we're taking 100% responsibility, then it means we're taking every thought, every emotion, every impulse, and we're putting it through our new identity of who we are in Christ. That's who I used to be. This is who I am today. That's the old way I would have done it. Here's the new way I'm going to do it. Here's how anxiety used to affect me. Here's how I affect anxiety. Here's how depression used to treat me. Here's how I treat depression. Here's how fear used to treat me. Here's how I deal with fear, because I am a new person in Christ Jesus. I know who I am, and I'm not going to be dictated by everything else that's going on around me. I'm taking charge. How many of you are taking charge tonight of who you are? And give him a great big praise offering. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. That's our assignment, is to take our lives and build them into maturity. And if you start reading that verse backwards, again, you see how we are to do that, by taking every thought into captivity, by taking every emotion and impulse and structure and running it through the new guy, through the new person. This is who I am now. That's how I used to be, but here's how I am now. That's my old identity. Here's my new identity. Is this helping anybody tonight? When we control our thoughts, our emotions come into alignment. Now, we got one of two ways that we do this. We either let our thoughts follow our emotions, or we make our emotions follow our thinking. And if we don't control our emotions, they will control us. So when we allow our emotions to be hijacked, anybody here ever had your emotions hijacked? Emotions, let me tell you what that looks like. It's ugly. I had a client a number of years ago who would get emotionally hijacked, and he would take a ball bat and literally go out and beat his car up. He'd beat the headlights out. He'd smash out the windshield. He'd get it all fixed, everything put back together, get emotionally hijacked again, take the ball bat, and do it all over again. I asked him one day how that was working out. It's not good when your counselor gets sarcastic with you, but I missed that class. But we let our emotions get hijacked. When our emotions get hijacked, we lose sense. We lose our sense of reason. And this is actually a physiological phenomenon that takes place. It's something, and I don't have the time to go into explain all of this, and don't even know if I could or not, but basically, to make it very simple, here's what happens. When you are in a rational state, then most of the blood that goes to your head flows through your front part of your brain, and most of the oxygen goes there. So you're able to reason. That's where you do your reasoning, here in the front part of your brain. When we get hijacked, there is a phenomenon that takes place. There's a switch. Well, it's not really a switch, but we're going to call it that. A switch that changes and moves the blood flow from the front of the brain to the back of the brain. The back of the brain is where we have the fight or flight syndrome. So now our body has changed physiologically to where we are getting more blood to the back of our brain, and we're in the fight or flight mode. And the chemistry of your brain actually changes. And if you become self-aware, you can actually feel the difference. And so we get hijacked when we get emotionally invested, and so the blood starts flowing to the back of our brain, and so we get in the fight mode or the flight mode. And there's another entity of that, the freeze. Sometimes we just freeze. We don't know what to do. We're so overwhelmed, fight or flight. We're so overwhelmed, we just freeze. Some people literally will crawl up in a ball on the floor in a fetal position. And it's the result of, but if you calm yourself, if you stand still, if you calm yourself, calm your heart, still your mind, you literally reverse that. And the blood starts flowing again to the front of your brain and the oxygen. And so you start having reasoning again. Now, there's actually, we got language for this. When you've had one of those experiences where you have gotten emotionally hijacked, you have an emotional hangover. That's where you're just exhausted. You're just exhausted from it. It exhausted you. And you've got this kind of yucky feeling and hangover that you can't seem to function very well, and you're trying to get it back. Well, I want to give you a real spiritual way of starting to reverse the flow from an emotional hijacking. And the quicker you catch yourself in this, the quicker you will reverse the hijacking. And here's how to get calm in your heart. Now, this is going to sound real spiritual, but it's just simply to breathe. If you just start breathing, because what happens when we get anxious and we get emotionally hijacked, we stop breathing deeply and we breathe shallow. And we even go sometimes into hyperventilation, and we have to breathe into a bag, but it's to get reoxygenated into our brain. So one of the first things to do is start breathing. When you feel your anxiety level going up, take deep breaths and be still and hear the voice of the Lord. If you breathe in and you remember to breathe in, and you just breathe Him in, just think of yourself breathing in the Holy Spirit. I'm breathing, I'm taking, when we take in His, did not He breathe on us and we became a living soul? Let Him breathe on, take His breath into you and use it for the glory of God. I'm trying to hurry. I know it doesn't look like it, but actually I am. Okay, so breathing deeply is one of the ways of calming our heart and stilling our mind. So we need to take charge of soothing our heart. Research shows that when we focus on core heart feelings, such as love, appreciation, and care, that the rhythm of the heart immediately shifts. So here's another way to get out of the emotional hijacking is to start thinking on the soul issues of how much you are loved, how much God appreciates you, and how much God cares. That's why the Bible said if you got anxiety, cast it on Him because He cares for you. You got to start understanding how God cares for you. When you know how God cares for you and you start caring for you the way God cares for you, you'll bring your heart into relationship with His Word and relationship with His Spirit, and you won't have any trouble standing still and hearing the voice of the Lord. So He tells us to focus on the things that we love, to focus on the things that we appreciate. In my seminar, in the Soul Awakening seminar, I teach people how to do this by getting your favorite picture. Put your favorite picture on your phone. Favorite place that you like to go. I've got several scenes on mine, and sometimes I have to flip through them in a hurry so I can calm my mind and steal my heart. But I got some beach scenes that I like. And I've got, I look at my family pictures. I look at the things that cause me to love and cause me to feel, have good feelings. And I've got some scriptures that I look at from time to time. That's why in Philippians 4 and 8, here's a way of calming your heart, stilling your mind. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there are any virtue or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I've been around church for a long time. It always amazes me how we like to focus on the negatives. When I was pastored, I had people, every pastor knows this. If you pastored any length of time at all, you know this. You're the greatest pastor I've ever had. That's code for I'm leaving. That's what that means. When somebody tells me, you're the greatest pastor I ever had, I knew exactly what that meant. They were getting ready to tell me they were out the door. Almost always happens. Greatest pastor I've ever had. Best preacher I've ever heard. Say, okay. And they would say, here's why I'm leaving. And I just got where I would just say, you know, that's a dumb reason for leaving. If you want a good, I can tell you a dozen good reasons that would work out better. Because we're not perfect around here. How many knows that the reason we're not perfect is because we're here? Right? And so we always look for reasons and to do what we want to do. But what would it be like if on church, after church, on Sunday, at your meal... Now, I'm not suggesting that you would be saying anything negative about church at your mealtime, but rather than that being, what if we started thinking about every good thing that happened? What if we started talking about how good things were, how lovely things were, how powerful God is? I really think we probably do that a lot here at CFTN. But this is what calms our heart. You'll never calm your heart in a critical spirit. You'll never steal your mind when you are in a cynical mood, when you are always putting down, when you're always criticizing. You'll never calm your heart. That is not getting in sync with the Holy Spirit. When we think on what is of good report, when we meditate on these things, he said all of these things will cause our heart to be calm and still. So one of the best exercises for quieting the mind and stilling the heart. When I got this, the scripture I'm about to give you, I use it when I can't get my brain to stop. Do you know what I mean? My brain's just spinning, and I can't get it stopped. When I go to prayer, I can't get focused, and I'll use this scripture, and I love this scripture. Because it helps me slow things down. It helps me slow my mind down when it's just going crazy and I got all the what ifs going on in my life. Would that scripture be helpful to you? I think it would. You know this scripture, and I quoted it Sunday morning. I quoted it a lot, but it comes out of the Message translation. We know it in the King James. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know and prove what is the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. That's the King James Version. I love it, but I love the Message translation, because here's how it really helps me get my thoughts slowed down and still my heart and calm my mind. So here's what I want you to do, the Message translation, same verse. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developed, well-formed maturity in you. So here's what He says to do. If you want to pull your brain in and get it slowed down, just stop and start thanking God for every little thing you can thank Him for. Everything about you, your everyday, ordinary, walking around, going to work, going home, going to sleep, eating, everything. Thank you, God, for what I've got on my plate. Thank you, God, for what you did here. If you'll start doing that and with a spirit of thanksgiving, offering it up to God as a praise, it'll slow your brain down and your mind will become still and you'll become calm and you'll be able to stand in the middle of a storm and say, that's who I used to be, but here's who I am today. This is my new identity. This is who I am in Christ. Would you stand to your feet with me? Give the Lord a great big praise offering and let Him minister to your heart tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Father, we just praise You. We just magnify You. We worship You right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want everybody in the house, I want you to lay your hand on your heart. I want our prayer team to come while you're doing this. I want you to lay your hand on your heart, and I want you to thank God right now. Thank God for the breath that you're breathing. Just say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for the breath that I'm breathing. I want you to feel your heart beat. And I want you to thank Him for the beating of your heart. Just give Him thanks right now. Thank You for the beating of my heart. Thank You that I'm able to be here. Thank You that I can breathe. Thank You that my heart is beating. Thank You that I can feel and I can experience Your presence. And I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be still in Your presence right now. Let's just let Him do it. Yes, musicians, thank you. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you in a still, calm way for just a moment. To be still in His presence. If your mind is racing, just stop it by starting to thank God for the little things. And just focus on who God is in your life right now. If you're here and you're not a believer, this is a great opportunity for you just to be thankful for life. You were given life and given a purpose. God brought you here tonight to hear this so that you could stop the rat race of life and start walking in the confidence, the power, the presence of God. God's going to do a work here. He showed me this today. God's going to do a work here tonight. You're going to step out of your old identity. You're going to step into your new identity. Sometimes we, even as believers, step back into our old identity. Fear, anxiety, depression. All those things that goes on. But we're going to step into our new identity and know who we are. And we're going to look at this out of control world and from a position of strength, a position of identity. We're going to speak with authority from a calm, still heart and mind and declare who God is. We're going to declare who God is. And we're going to be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Father, in the name of the Lord, we have prayer partners that are ready to pray with you. You say, I need some help to stop the panic in my life, the anxiety, the fear, the racing thoughts, the what ifs. And I want somebody to agree with me tonight to be calm and to be still and to hear the voice of the Lord in my life. If you want prayer, I want you to come forward. If you need healing, if you need whatever you need, we're here to minister to you tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just stay in the spirit of worship, church. The Holy Spirit is moving and working right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because you first loved me, God. And I love you, Jesus. I love you.
You're ready to take charge of your life tonight? God's got a way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Jesus, I love you. Yes, I love you. Because you first loved me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. We want everybody to be prayed for that wants prayer. So just be patient for a few minutes. Just stay in a spirit of worship. It's a great time to just stand still and hear the Lord. Be still and hear the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God.
Yes, I love
Glory to the Lamb of God. Father, in the name of the Lord.
Because
Praise the name of the Lord.
Nothing can tear me away.
If we have some other prayer partners, if you could step up, it would be helpful. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God, Father, in the name of the Lord. Father, by your Spirit and your power, your presence, Lord. Hallelujah.
Nothing can tear me away from your love, Lord. Nothing can separate your heart from mine. Nothing can tear me away from your love. Jesus, I love you.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we just praise you right now. We magnify you. You're an awesome church. And I thank God to be a part of you here at CFTN. And all that God's doing through CFTN around the world. Be a part of that. It's an awesome thing. You're part of that. Those of you that are online are a part of that. And we're thankful for it. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Pastor will be back. And he'll be fully charged, I'll assure you. God bless you.
You first.